Tuning in. Hey, I am William A. Brown. I'm the CEO of Studio W Buzz, studiowbuzz.com. Hey, you can find us anywhere around the globe. Amazon, Alexa. Okay? Just say, Alexa, I need to keep it soft because she'll turn on right now. Hey, tune into Studio W. Okay? Apple, just simply download studio.w, Android, Studio W, or you can go to our website. In the United States, studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com. Internationally, you can go to studiow.buzz. Check us out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Also available on Apple CarPlay and Google Play. Now, tonight I'm here for flying solo, so it may be a short broadcast, but nonetheless, I believe a significant one. This is the last week of Black History Month or Black History Month. Now, keep in mind that we do this 24 hours a day. I mean, not 24 hours a day, but several times throughout the year we celebrate Black History because we think it is significant because our youth need to know some of the trailblazers that have laid a path before them, some of the inventors, the scientists, the artists, not only the music and the dance, but I'm talking about significant astrology, medicine, just groundbreaking things that have saved all and have contributed to all of society. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. Let's talk about some of the most important persons in Black history. Now, we say people like Muhammad Ali. Absolutely. Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, Jackie Robinson, Harriet Tubman. Let's see, who else? There's so many, many, many. Langston Hughes, Maya Angelou, and many, many more. So let's talk about, just take a few minutes, bear with me a few minutes, and I want to talk about W.E.B. Du Bois. Okay. Edward Bugard Du Bois was an American sociologist, socialist, historian, and pan-African civil rights activist. Pan-Africanist civil rights activist born in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Perhaps some of you know where that is. I have no idea. Du Bois grew up relatively tolerant and integrated in a tolerated, relatively tolerant and integrated community. Let's look at this a little bit more. After completing graduate work at the Frederick Wilhelm University in Berlin, Germany, and Howard University, where he was the first African-American to earn a doctorate, he became the professor of history, sociology, and economics at Atlanta University. Du Bois was one of the founders of the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, better known as the NAACP, in 1909. Earlier, Du Bois had risen to national prominence as a leader of the Niagara Movement. Now, you say, what is that? It was a group of African-American activists who wanted equal rights for blacks. Du Bois and his supporters also opposed the Atlanta Compromise. Let's repeat that. Du Bois and his supporters opposed the Atlanta Compromise. You might want to Google that. An American agreement crafted by Booker T. Washington, which provided that Southern blacks would work and submit while white political rule. I'm going to read that again. An agreement crafted by Booker T. Washington, which provided that Southern blacks would work and submit to white political rule, while Southern whites guaranteed that blacks would receive basic education and economic opportunities. I think that's worth reading again. The compromise was something that was crafted by Booker T. Washington, which provided that Southern blacks would work and submit to white political rule, while Southern whites guaranteed that blacks will receive basic educational and economic opportunities. I want to stop right there. Perhaps that was a compromise. Is okay. At least, okay. Now, we're going to adhere to what you have to say politically, and we will agree to abide by the rules. However, you have to guarantee that blacks will receive basic education and economic opportunities. Just underline that. Educational and economic opportunities. Huh. Okay. If you're okay with that, let's continue. Du Bois insisted that full civil rights and increased political representation, which he believed would be brought about by the African-American intellectual elite. He referred to this group as the Talented Tenth. The Talented Tenth. It's a concept which was conceived under the umbrella of racial uplift and believed that African-Americans needed the chances for advanced education to develop its leadership. Racism was a major target of Du Bois' polemic, and he strongly protested against lynching. Wow. Okay. All right. Jim Crow laws and discrimination in education and employment. His calls included people of color everywhere, particularly Africans and Asians in colonies. He was a proponent of Pan-Africanism and helped organize several Pan-African Congress. Okay. To fight for the independence of African colonies from the European powers, Du Bois made several trips to Europe, Africa, and Asia. After World War I, he surveyed the experiences of African black soldiers in France and documented widespread prejudice and racism in the United States. Okay, folks. Now, we already know that racism exists in this country. There are many that will say, United States is not a racist country. It's not a racist country. Well, it depends on what side of the tracks you're on, or it depends on what side of the economic spectrum you're on, or the housing spectrum. So I'm going to leave it that up to you, because there are many, many blacks have overcome and have sustained substantial wealth in many, many areas, not only in music and in dance and in theater, but also, like I said, in medicine. Okay, we can go over that in a little bit if we have time. Not only that, in science. Okay. There are many now who did the first heart transplant, the first blood transfusion. So let's look at all of these things, and many of these things need to be talked about. And why is the importance? People say, well, some may say, why do we need a Black History Month? Well, I think the significance is that because otherwise it would not be taught. Many young people look up to their heroes. They look at what they see on TV, who they read about, who is held to a, who shows themselves in high esteem. So many youth, they need to see that. And so you have to ask the question, so why are some of these states out here, some of these governors, they are trying to restrict education as far as that is concerned? Okay. I just want to know about that. You see, so we really want to talk about this and, look at who inspires who. Now, many young, people they look at athletes as their heroes. Some of our youth, they look at rappers or singers, whatever, as their heroes, because that's who they see. That's who they see each and every week on TV. They buy the music. They listen to the songs. They also see these figures on TV. But how many times do you see on TV black scientists or black astrologists, astronomers rather, or say maybe someone that's into music or physics? You know, I was inspired. I saw this young black man who, did he graduate from high school at the age of 9, and he wanted to be a neurophysicist? Now, many of our youth will say, what is a neurophysicist? Well, shucks, man, I can't explain it to you. I'll have to look it up and tell you about it. And I do know, but I'm not going to go into that. But the thing about it is that someone had to inspire that young man to go in that direction. I'm going to credit his parents and opening his, giving him education and teaching him at such an early age. And you have to realize and admit, age of 9 years old, many of us are thinking about science. When you were nine, how many of you thought about science or medicine or astronomy or physics, you know, or anything of that nature, engineering? It didn't cross our minds, you know? So it had to be put in there. Now, I have to say, at the age of nine, this young man he is gifted. He is gifted. And so there was a little joke. Well, he made it out of a joke. And I think that, who was it that interviewed him? The interviewer says, okay, oh, I know, it was on CNN. I said, wow. And I don't recall his name. Hey, text me if you saw this story or if you saw this interview. And it was Don Lemon, I believe, that says, man, you graduated at 9 years old from high school. Wow. I mean, that is absolutely extraordinary. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And the young man looked at him and said, what's the big deal? All I did was graduate. But to him, it wasn't a big deal, because to him, education was the norm for him. Okay, just brilliant. I like that. I'd like to follow his career over the next several years and find out exactly what's happening. Let's say at the age of nine, that means he can graduate from college. Most of us, it takes about 4 years, you know, to get your bachelor's, right? But I wouldn't put anything past this guy. If he got his bachelor's at the age of 11 or 12 or 13, I wouldn't put it past him at all. But anyway, let's go back to, let's talk about W.E.B. Du Bois, okay? And so he believed that African Americans needed the chances for advanced education to develop its leadership. Now, the thing about it is, the more educated a society is, I think the better a society is, because I think that if you have the right information, perhaps you can make the right decisions. Understand? If you have knowledge of what's going on, then there's a good chance you can make some better sound decisions. You think that's possible? Because a lot of us right now, we don't read, what's happening in the latest tabloid, or what's the latest scandal, or what's going on. And we really don't know what's going on in our government. And I'm not only talking about a national government, which is more, I would say, deemed more important, is the local government. Do you know what's going on in your own backyard, in your communities? Who are you selecting, or electing, rather, to your local Congress, your local Senate, your mayors, and the people within your communities and cities that really make the decisions? Okay, who's in charge of education? Who's in charge of health? Who makes decisions as far as policing is concerned? Okay, all right. Well, we know the mayor, in most cases, he's in charge of the police department, right? And we all know, and I'm hopefully we'll agree that police reform needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed immediately. Okay, everybody acknowledges that there are great police officers out here, and I'm sure, and I hope that you will really realize. I'm not asking you to agree. I'm asking you to realize that there are awful, corrupt police officers out here in this country. Because guess what? Because guess where did they come from? You know, police officers, they are people too, right? And they were a citizen just like you and I before they became an officer. And whether they were policing, in some cases, didn't make them bad people. They were bad people when they got on the force. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. They weren't bad when they once they joined the force. They were bad before they got there. So we need to look at and screen the people who are supposed to be protect and preserve. Okay? Protect and preserve. Okay? Because those are people you trust. Now, I am the first one to admit that we need police officers However, we need good police officers, just like we need good people in every position. You've got not only police officers, and I'm not going to just jump on them, but they are ones that really they carry weapons, and a lot of people have ended up being killed. Okay. Go a step further. Look at our Congress. Look at our Senate. Who are these people that we're putting into these offices? Places that make a decision that impact our lives each and every day. Folks, I don't give a damn about Hunter Biden's laptop. I don't care about that. What difference does that make? And they're talking about things like a woke society. What in the world that means? You know, the people that are talking about a woke society have no idea what it means. But they're making it a bad word, you see. Okay? They're calling out things that don't even happen. Okay? There is a war against CRT, critical race theory. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I don't care. Well, I do care, because the thing about it is they are making up, it's the boogeyman in the room that doesn't even exist in our elementary schools. What are you talking about? You have the QAnon conspirators, right? With all of these crazy, crazy theories that end up getting people killed. So that's why education is important. You need to be able to know what's right, what's wrong. I mean, it's really not that hard. If it doesn't smell right, if it doesn't look right, then it's not right. And if you're pretending that it is, then you are part of the problem. And then you have to understand and ask the question, why? Are people really gung-ho on killing, disrupting, and just making others' lives miserable? I'm going to submit, because their lives are miserable themselves. They are miserable people. You cannot wish harm and destructive on someone who hasn't done nothing to you, unless you are just a miserable, miserable person. And unfortunately, we have some of these people as our leaders. Okay? They are coming up with things that really doesn't matter. Now, out here in society right now, okay, we have inflation is a real deal, folks. It's a real deal. Even though we have record employment and and some of the lowest unemployment ever, you still have high prices. Okay? So, got a couple of things, a couple of dynamics that's going on. You got a few supply chain shortage. A supply chain shortage, okay? That's going to drive prices up. You know how it is, the law of supply and demand, okay? If there's a lot out there that you can pick from, guess what? The prices are lower. But if the commodities become rare, then they are more expensive, aren't they? Of course they are. So you have to understand what happens. I'm going to venture a guess. Okay, and you let me know whether you're right, whether I'm right or not. Greed. Okay. The oil companies, they are experiencing and enjoying record profits. Okay, while gas prices are up. How come Congress isn't addressing that? Okay. Joe Biden has addressed the drug companies, Big Pharma. He has addressed that, but I think there's a lot more that needs to be done. You have people around the country that can't even get a $15 an hour minimum wage. So, will someone please tell me right now, let's say you're a single person and you need a car, you need a place to live, and you need something to eat, and hopefully you can afford a phone and maybe some type of entertainment. We all need to have some entertainment, okay? Need to have some balance in your society. Who can do that on $15 an hour? Okay? Now, if you have an apartment and a car, unless you have money, let's say you have no money, but you have a job, you have an apartment, you have a car, you need food, and you need the utilities and things of that nature. What kind of place are you living? And on less than $15 an hour. At $15 an hour, how about $20 an hour right now? Okay. I'm going to submit to you that even $25 an hour, it will still be with today's prices, it'll be very difficult to live on that. Now, we're going to come back in a little bit right after this music, and we're going to talk about Black Reconstruction in America. We're going to talk about Black soldiers in France. We're going to talk about a little bit more about the Pan-African Congress right after this. Hey, stay tuned. I am WB, William A. Brown, here on the Boomerang Radio Show. Okay, let's stay. Oh, let's see. What do I? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I've got something for you by Peter White. Let's do it. On the East Coast, 3 p.m. On the West, and 5 Central. And so before the break, I was asking the audience to chime in and let me know. There was a young man that I saw on CNN a couple of weeks ago, I believe. And he is 9 years old. This young man is 9. Oh, there's Dr. Sims. Hey, Dr. Sims, how are you? Okay. Yeah, Dr. Sims. Okay, she's getting together. And I was talking about the youngest person who ever graduated from high school. And he's a Black child. His name is Michael Kearney. And he holds the Guinness World Record for being the youngest person to complete his secondary education at the age of 6. And he graduated from high school at the age of 9. And I'm going to make a prediction. He's going to have his master's degree before he's 15. I believe that. I really, truly believe that. And so it's what we expose our children to. That's why a lot of people, Dr. Sims, are saying, why do we need to celebrate Black history? Well, it is absolutely necessary, because if you don't talk about it, who's going to talk about it? We have to educate our children and let them know, hey, there's more than video games. There's more than athletics. There's more than rap music. There's more than entertainment or whatever it is, right? And so I'm going to applaud this young man. So apparently, I do believe, like I said earlier, that this young man is a gifted young man. However, we have a lot of gifted young people out here, and they need to know that they are. And I guarantee you that his parents instill confidence at a very when he was a baby. Think about this: completed secondary education at the age of 6. So when did he start school? At the age of 1, age of 2, and graduated from high school at the age of 9.
Wow!
And I believe, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him in a second, folks. And this stuff is vitally important. Okay, we need to let our children know that there's more to life than, like I say, the rap songs that they listen to or playing basketball. Everyone is not going to be a Michael Jordan. So you really have to understand that. Everyone is not going to be what their favorite football player who he is, or their favorite rapper or movie star. Those things don't happen. And there's more to the Black experience than those things we're talking about. We're talking about science. We're talking about physics. We're talking about astronomy, medicine, name it. Okay. Across the board. And so we need to be awakened to that. So Dr. Sims, how are you, my dear friend?
Oh my goodness. Time got away from me. Oh, I am so sorry, but
that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Because I had planned, Anne is celebrating her mom's 70th birthday today. So she's not going to be with us. So and you would have to know I did not give her a hard time about it. Okay. Did not give her a hard time. And Dr. Demery.
Well, I know because I was on there with you last week when she told you, remember?
Yeah, she told you last week. And Dr. Demery, he's at home recuperating. And so well wishes and prayers to you, okay. Dr. Demery. And Dan and Tisdale, he'll join us sometime probably in the next couple of weeks or so. Oh, speaking of next week, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit.
Okay, great.
Next week, remember we had a program last Sunday and we were talking about artificial intelligence. We were talking about GMOs. We were talking about how man is just making, oh my God, a mess out of God's creation. Just making a mess. You see? Mm-hmm. And I think about this often and I'm saying, well, and people will, God, why do you do this? God didn't do this. Everything that we need on this earth, we have everything that we need to survive, okay? Wow. Make sure that the cupboards are full. There's plenty of resources for everyone and everything. And then hand it over to us. And what do we do with it? You see? So the problem, and I look back and people say, well, God, why do you let this happen? No. When we are electing crazy people that are making crazy laws and things like that, and you're going to end up with a crazy situation. I mean, it cannot come out any better than that. We need to elect better leaders all around. I don't want to get off on that. That's for another show. But this young man, did you hear anything about it? This young man's name is Michael Kearney, and he's only 9 years old. I saw him on CNN.
Yes, I did. Yes.
It was absolutely fascinating. As a matter of fact, I think he asked, who was that he had on it? Was it, Michael Dice? I don't want to mess this man's name, but anyway, he is a scientist or a physicist. And this young man had his own theory and he went and he wanted to, go into that, but it didn't have enough time. He was on CNN and I think it's absolutely incredible. So the point that I'm making there, he's a black child, you know? And apparently, black children can learn, apparently. And we know that. Mm-hmm. But you have people out here that want to go on and twist things and say, no, because you are of a certain race, you cannot achieve, you cannot adapt, you cannot learn. And those are lies. And we need to dispel these lies every chance we get. Mm-hmm. What's your take, Dr. Sims?
Well, you know, I'm noticing it more and more. We're being discredited for our genius ability. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
We have been downplayed for years. And as William, it's sad to say some people are not coming into the level of understanding how smart they are, because they've been in captivity in their minds.
Absolutely.
And that is through verbal manipulation. Mm-hmm. Okay. To keep them down. But I'm looking too, black women, young girls are graduating from college the same time they're graduating from high school.
Isn't that something?
One graduated from college before getting her diploma from high school.
Wow.
I'm noticing babies, how mother are being instrumentals. That's why I say this homeschooling, there's something to that, because young baby wasn't even a year old, having visual cards and looking at these cards and saying the words. That's why we said, remember we were talking about women who carry children, if they speak to their children or sing to their babies before they're born. I'm a witness to that. It is an actual fact, because what you put in your bodies or your emotional distressors, it passes on to the child. But people, I believe they are recognizing that when they talk to their children, when they read to their children, when they sing to them before they are born, these children come out so wise and smart. But society has it, let them tell it, is that we are not as educated as they feel that we should be. And it's downplayed. But like you said, I heard you were saying about this 9 years old. He's not the only one. He's not the only one that has graduated from a very young age. In fact, what's going on, and I really believe this, they're holding these children back. Okay? There's some that maybe an age or two younger than him, or maybe an age or two older than him, the 9-year-old, that is quite highly intelligent. But because society makes you feel, and I'll say a certain culture, and not trying to start nothing, but it is what it is, a certain culture will keep you down because they don't want anybody to recognize, and we're talking about Black history, that there is a special thing going when it comes to our Afro-Americans, if we would just tap into it. All we have to do is tap into it. Mm-hmm. And once you get some sense about yourself, but yeah, it's quite extraordinary, William. Quite extraordinary.
And you know, and I tell you, I think that I have an obligation on this, and I know you do too, that we need to point out the things that are counterproductive to what our plight is, counterproductive to our success, counterproductive, and I'm talking about as far as education, economics, and just overall good mental health is concerned. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Mental health, the causes of poor mental health comes from a myriad of things, folks. And a lot of it, I'm going to tell you, discrimination can be a major, major factor in people having mental health conditions. Let's say, for instance, if you are lack of education, lack of food, lack of housing, lack of money, and your mind is thinking, is not thinking on being a, and in a lot of cases, you're not thinking about being progressive. You're not thinking about getting up and doing better if you are beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's the oldest trick in the world. That is the oldest trick in the world. Take a man or woman's dignity away from them. Don't educate them. Don't give them the things and show them other cultures that have living the life of luxury. Now, can you imagine you growing up in a life of poverty and you are stuck there? And you're stuck there for generations. And I'm not going to say this is a generational curse, because some of these things are put on the people on purpose, right? If I can take you, if y'all can take your mind away from you, I got you. If I can take any hope away from you, I have you. If I don't educate you and say, hey, why don't you get an education? Hey, damn, there are no books. Wait a minute, hold it. And then I'm gonna, and I before you came on, I was talking about, and I if you feel me getting a little angry right now, that's because I am. I am. And I'm not going to apologize for it, because I think anger can be healthy. You just can't let it take over control of you, that that's the only thing, that you walk around angry all day. I'm angry to the point that I said, this is wrong. And I think we have a right to be angry. The thing about it is what are we going to do about it, and how are we going to react to our anger? Now, I can get angry and I can go up and disrupt a whole lot of things, or I can tear up some things or destroy things, or I can get angry and says, okay, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to put on, let's take this radio play, platform or this station, for instance. I say, I can put on more education. I can put on more educational programs. I can put on programs that are uplifting. I can put on programs that inspire. I can put on programs that educate. I can do these things. These are things that my anger, that I wanted to use my anger for, not to disrupt or destroy or to hurt, but to uplift. Mm-hmm. And I think we have every right. About time we get angry around here. That's my point.
Well, William, here's the biggest travesty to me, and I can't just blame society. I'm blaming family members. Let's just go all on into the wheelhouse here.
Let's do it.
Who tell you you have no right to express your anger. In other words, they're telling you you have no right to your feelings. So then I was thinking about just to today, that all of that is bottled up and suppressed in you. when if you got a release at the time and able to get an understanding at that time, then guess what? Things would have been resolved. But you have people who have degrees and years of anger that's been held up. And then too, you get a trigger out there in the world because people are acting real stupid. I was watching things today about the Karens out in the world. And I was thinking, I said, that spirit of sense of entitlement, I said, and they are coming like crawling from under the rocks. And I got, it caused me, and I'm going to tell you what it caused me, and I had to stop looking at that. It caused me anxiety. Okay. It caused my mental to reflect back and trigger back on some things that I endured even as a child, and then got angry, trying to do, disclose my pains and dissatisfactions and those standing the roadblocks and holding it individual. I took it personal. And then I got angry and then my anxiety went out the roof. And that's where people, when that happens to them, they can't think rationally.
That's right.
Okay. They cannot think rationally. And my thing is this, is that I had to talk to Cecilia. Okay. I had to tell her, no, don't even allow this to happen, because the thing is this, it is, like you said earlier, it is designed to do that.
That's right.
It is designed to make you feel insignificant, that you don't, and I, my cry is that I have a voice. And I tell people, pain has a voice, but it's been shut down. We've been manipulated. Things have been taken. Now the thing that's going now is that they don't even want us to teach now Black history in some of our schools. It's a legislature that has that ballot. Out there that don't want us to teach Black history. Why? The excuses of some of our white brothers and sisters are saying, because it's making our children feel bad. That is not the case. What it is, it's making you face your sins. That's what it is. Okay. And not that, and my thing is the sins of your forefathers. We understand that, but we need to give, education in light of why people are reacting the way they react and why they're acting out the way they're acting out, because they've been fed this, that you have no right to say anything, but yet you can work here like a Hebrew slave, get us what we got and don't say nothing. I'm just going to give you just enough to close your mouth and be satisfied at the reaction that I've given you, and make it positive. It is not positive. If you really look at it, just put rubber meets the road. You're only given enough. You're not giving what your worth is.
You know, I tell you, you're exactly right. And I'm going to tell you something. The difficulty is not only we're getting it from one culture, from another culture. We're getting it from our own cultures in a lot of cases.
That's exactly right.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've ever, I don't care whether you Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Muslim, Islamic, I don't care who you are. If you ever told your child that they will never be nothing in life, you are stabbing them in the back.
Come on.
You are stabbing them in the back. And they were talking about, well, you know, and you have some Black people out here, and you would think that they would stand up for what's right. And they will look and says, no, you'll never be any good. I had a teacher once. Okay. I had a fifth grade teacher once. That's right. And she told me in front of the entire class that I would never be anything in life. Now, can you imagine how that was pain there?
Yeah.
There was a lot. And I'm thinking, and the thing, and I'm gonna just paint this scenario for you real quick. There was a young girl, classmate of mine. Her name was Debbie, and Debbie and I, we used to sit across from each other, right? And we were really good friends, and sitting in the back of the class and just having a good time. And Debbie was really smart, you know, and I was pretty smart too. I was pretty smart, and for her to tell me that, and so what happened? We were back there laughing and joking, but Debbie happened to be the teacher's pet. And we were back there laughing and joking. And she says, Deborah, I want you to come up front here. And you sit up front in this chair. And I don't want you sitting beside William anymore, because he will never be anything in life. I said, whoa. Okay. Now,
She literally said that out in the open?
Oh, yes, in front of the entire class.
Wow.
He will never be anything in life. And I thought at that young, this was the fifth grade, I thought at a young age, what an awful thing to say. What an awful teacher. And I did not like her at all after that point, okay? Now, we were taught at that time, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything because at that time we were taught, do not talk back to your teachers. You do not talk back to elders, okay? I was taught that.
Right.
I was taught that. But, you know, I look at it like this. That could have affected me. It affected me that I never forgot it. I took the attitude, I will show her. Now, I could have gone the other way and believed her. And what I'm saying to you folks, there are many of our children that believe what you tell them.
Right.
My teacher said I will never be anything in life. The grown-ups said I'll never be anything in life. Okay? My parents say I'll never be anything in life. Well, guess what? I'll never be anything in life, huh? But I was so angry about that. I said, oh no, sister. We're not going to have it your way here. It's not going to. And every time I think about that and think about it, this was a long time ago when I was in the fifth grade. But the thing about it, I do think about it, even though it's uncomfortable, but I use it as a motivating factor for me. It's a motivating factor. And so we need to talk about how are we educating our children? What are we saying to them? Dr. Sims, you've been on programs that we talked about the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a minister. You know how powerful the word is or words are. Words can inspire or words can destroy.
Exactly.
Words can help you in life, or the wrong word to the wrong person can get you killed. Am I right about that?
Oh my goodness. And it's so profound that you're talking this way, William, because I was meditating today and some things, when it came to me, I got quite upset because of the words that were stipulated. But then what really gets me is when people use certain words to get something over on you and then turn around and tell you you've got the wrong perception. My thing is don't play with a girl. Okay. Then now you're trying to make me to look like I'm ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, people's behavior will follow after the words given.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach speaking in clarity and saying what you mean. And if it's unclear to the individual, give them the right dialogue so that they can understand. But people, and you said something, William, about our own people. We could be some of the most vicious people going to each other.
That's right.
And it is wrong. And for you to sit up there and grin and skin. Now I'm coming home with it. I can tell a snake, period. Okay. A snake among us. And what they try to do is do little sneaky little stuff. And see, I'm the kind of trying to hold myself together without calling names, because I'm the kind of person now I have the authority to call you out.
Mm-hmm.
Where in times past, like you said, in times past, we couldn't say too much of anything. Well, I'm grown now. Okay. Mm. It is what it is. And so, we have been, domesticated to the point where, you don't have a right to ask questions. You don't have a right to get an understanding. And so then you don't have a right to share your viewpoint on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're to take exactly what they say and run with it. Well, 9 times out of 10, that person who's sharing some things, and you know, I'm a mental health specialist. And my thing is that a lot of times these people are sharing stuff because they might be envy of your gifts and see your potential.
Wow.
And so therefore they will share things to keep you from getting to that place of confidence where you need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person is not strong enough, I've had that happen to me in school. You'll never be a writer. You're too colorful. Well, that's what writers are. Even producers, they're colorful. Even producing movies, they have to make you understand what this movie is about. Mm-hmm. And they do it through words, thus showing an action behind it. See, don't mess with this girl, okay?
Uh-huh.
I have been put down for so long to be silent and to accept anything that I say. You don't have a right to even feel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of what I've disclosed. And see, that's why we got so many people in our culture walking like they kings and gods, and they need to sit down somewhere because some of them mm-hmm. can't add 2 + 2. I'm just using that as a metaphor, and can't
Come
add
on,
two
now.
Plus two. And they act like they are golden. They stuff don't stink. And
yeah.
I am of this persuasion. And you know, the church is my wheelhouse. You have a lot of pastors and first ladies, let's just be real,
uh-huh.
who are acting stupid and wondering, why are they leaving me? Well, look in the mirror, baby.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is this, we're always trying to analyze somebody else when you are stinky, okay?
That's right.
I think people, if they stop putting themselves, this is in and out of the church, in your homes, whatever, when it comes to the level of education, and stop competing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you competitive? Compete with yourself.
That's right.
Okay? Better yourself. Then I heard, and Cleflo, he's changed, so I'm able to listen to him now. He talks about what we're supposed to pour into each other, and it made sense. And God allow me to hear that today. And I says, okay, because we have twisted up a lot of things, and that it's me, myself, and I, you exalt me. And that's the kind of spirit he had before he repented. Okay? But God got him. He said, when the Lord get through beating your tail. And I said, now you talking my language, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on down from High Street. Because people can't stand, and I hope I'm not getting off here, but
no.
People can't stand to have $2.50 because now they act like they've arrived. But babies, I'm here to tell you, your stuff stinks. See, now you done open up a girl here. Your stuff stink, and I don't appreciate you. I don't care if I'm the one who brought you into this world.
That's right.
You understand me? Your stuff stink, and I don't care how many books you read, who you've talked to. And a lot of times people talk to people to hide their stuff.
That's
okay?
Right.
But baby, I'm blowing. Okay.
No, you're all doing right, fine. Baby. No, look, I'm telling you, I have no problem, folks, because you're black doesn't mean that you're right all the time. Okay.
Right.
Now, if you're about right and you're doing right and you promote right, then I'm with you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I don't care who you are. I was talking to my great friend, Mike Ward. Okay. He's Mike Ward when he comes on the Boomerang. He'll be on next week with us also. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence and GMOs and all this stuff that man is doing to pollute this earth.
Awesome.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, folks, okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get off on this because California, I was there for 39 years. What you guys are witnessing there now, I've never seen it in 39 years.
It's amazing here.
I've never seen it. And you know, there's a song, says, you know, it never rains in California. Well, in Southern California, it definitely doesn't snow there, except for up in the mountains up in Big Bear. And that's okay. That's always there. You know, you've got the flat lines, and you also have the mountains. And since I've obviously, it always snows up in Big Bear. I mean, that's how they make a lot of money up there, the resorts and things of that nature. But down inland, we never saw that. It didn't happen. And so, man, I'm telling you something. We
got 18 inches of water, 18 inches, 18 feet of water.
Oh,
and there's
wow.
another storm coming in next week.
Wow.
We got in Victorville, they had like what, 8 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, even in Fontana, they got snow. We got it in Hemet. The cows just laid down in the snow.
Okay? In San Bernardino.
Yes. In San Diego. Okay.
That's amazing.
All up through there, Escondido got snow. And then the rain is, in fact, what really gets me is now they're trying to find out how they can reserve some of the water. You know, they should have, I don't want to go into that, but they should have did that when they got all those millions of dollars and dug that one ditch. You better call the girl. Okay.
Well, I hope
now
they have a plan
about the water. Now you want to raise prices, but they're not going to have it. The public not having it, no.
Oh, no, no, not at all. And but this is the thing about it, folks. I was talking about my buddy Mike. And Mike and I also, and I wanted to promote our show, which comes on Thursdays, Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. You've been on there before.
Yes.
We just cut up, have a great time, and just have a really, really good time. And he's just two friends. It's almost like, Mike and I talk. It's almost like, and we talk about that, like that off air. Off air. And so we just bring it to the airways. And something, that Mike and I, we were discussing today now via text, right? Mm-hmm. And we were regarding the broadcast that we have, which is called Hope is Alive. Mm-hmm. And that is an actual sermon that comes on each and every Sunday right here, okay? Mm-hmm. And the pastor, I get a chance to talk to the pastor after the sermon, which is really unique. That's one of the unique parts of that program. And we were talking about good and evil, and he was saying, evil is a spirit. And evil, and that spirit has no color. And it kind of touches on what you were saying a little bit earlier about some of our, because see, I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about everybody here, folks. All right. We're not going to say, okay, well, this group does this and that group does that. And no, there are no innocent players here. Okay. Right. Because in each and every culture that exists on this earth right now, there's evil. Exactly. I'm telling you. Okay. You got great people, you got good people, and you got evil people. Hey, don't fool yourself because somebody is black or they're evil, or somebody's white, they're evil, or somebody's Asian, they're evil, somebody is Islamic or whatever you want, they're evil. Okay. It exists across the spectrum. Okay, you've got good and you have evil. I don't know what the percentages are, and it really doesn't. Well, it does make a difference, but I can't give you a percentage. Okay, well, this percentage of the population is that, or whatever it is. But I tell you what I'm finding out is there is more evil than I thought it was. I was always a person that looked at the world through rose-colored glasses, and I thought, oh, there's just a few of them bad apples out here. Man, there's more apples out there that's bad than you think.
William, you can't give a statistic view of evil. Because evil is always present.
Oh,
Lord.
Let me
school you real quick.
Help us.
And my thing is this, is that evil is within even in our own members.
Of course.
But the thing is this, some people just have no control of who they allow to use them.
That's right.
And we're talking about Satan himself.
That's right.
The Lord in our members. Was that Paul said, I would do good, but evil is always present.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about himself.
Uh-huh.
Remember we were on Miss Cece's kitchen. I was talking about Celie, and we were talking about Cookie and, you know, and yep. Vicky. Yeah, that's that other side of us that's evil.
Oh.
And we will hurt you. Okay. That side of us, it's almost like there's no rationale.
Absolutely.
Especially when we want to get our point across. But my thing is this, the Lord tells us, and you know, we're going biblical. The Lord tells us don't put confidence in flesh. Flesh is where the evil is.
That's right.
You hearing me?
And he didn't
people
say,
can grin and I've found, right. I'm sorry.
Go on,
I
you're
found
not going.
Out that people will grin and skin in your face and plotting and planning at the same time.
Look.
They,
and you know how I am, and you are Dr. Demery, and Ann is to say, look, we are hard, and some of these black preachers out here, let me tell you something.
Come on.
Some of y'all need to go to prison. Look, because you're ripping people off, you're up there and you are giving false doctrine.
But that's
and,
not the only thing they're doing.
And you want to stay, the same thing that other cultures want to dumb us down and keep us ignorant. Mm. Some of you black preachers out there want the same thing because the dumber you keep us, the more money you get. All right? Because some of us will realize, why am I putting money in your plate when you are lying to me? I might as well go to, now there are good churches out here. There are good preachers out here. I would trust you. I would talk to Dr. Demery. There are several preachers that I will trust. But some of these scam artists out here, now you get up there and you selling prayer cloths or are you selling, are you selling tickets to heaven? Why would you? Now, folks, you said, what does this have to do with Black history? Folks, that's part of it. Part of it, because we think about this, because part of our history is the church, isn't it?
Yeah.